Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, hello, and welcome to round 23 of the Monday Waffle.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Here with Sophie Clappin and Laura Birch. I'm Verity Hughes, and look, ladies, we're getting closer and closer to finals, and what a round of footy it was.
I know, round 23, it's creeping up on us.
It's amazing, and exciting to see how all the teams are going to square up for next week. This is a bit of a see how good you are.
We'll get straight into it, the East Perth and East Fremantle game. I did head down to Adam Stadium on the Saturday, and my heart is still
your heartbroken, aren't you?
What was the vibe like down there?
Well, it was a wet, dark day. The thing is, I spoke to Matthew Jupp last week, and he said, look, you know, we'll be more prepared on the ground. We'll know that it'll be wet. We'll be able to work around that because we know that now. But from what I could tell, it was just a slippery, scraggly game. Obviously the conditions weren't good, but it was just a lost confidence.
Well, maybe the Eagles players in East Perth, the extra experience just really helped them.
Yeah, just too good. Wolfie played a great game. You remember?
Oh, what a great guy. He's extended his career for another game.
Of course.
Yeah. But, you know, pretty disappointing. Although we were missing Jamie McNamara, the captain, and also George Hampson, who's a pretty big deal in
our
midfield.
It's difficult when your captain's not there. Yeah. Sometimes you need that added motivation. But it's a real shame they couldn't do it for you Sharkers fans.
Yeah, it was a real shame. I'll get straight into it. It was 13 goals, 9 points, 87 to the Royals. Joel Saracis' Royals to 6 goals, 3 points, 39. Me Sharkers bra. It was an important game.
More than doubled the score, but there was a bit of that this round.
Yeah. Yeah, It was an important game, and they just didn't see it for the opportunity that it was at the time. And there was all this talk and build up to it, but when it actually came down, I think it was a confidence loss. East Frio, we had the home ground advantage, but the Royals, they controlled the game from the first quarter to the last. East Perth kicked the first 3 goals. The main goal scorers for them, captain, as we just said, Craig Wolfe, he kicked 2. As you said, extended his career for at least one more game now that they're in the finals. And Malcolm Carpenter as well, and Sam Powell Pepper.
Great name.
Great name. Last week,
Powell Pepper.
Don't know how we haven't come across it. Oh, dear. Best on ground for the Royals, Paul Johnson piled up 56 hit-outs in the ruck for the Royals. Luke Partington with 30 possessions in the middle of the ground.
And that's where it's really important. Yeah. When your ruck is in control and able to give the ball to your midfielders, that's where you control the game.
That's where it's won and lost, isn't it? Kurt Mortimer, he also had 25 disposals, and Jackson Nelson with 24. So, I mean, in comparison to the Sharks, they just had the numbers up for those stats. Best on ground for the Sharks. So Cameron Italy, he did quite well, kicked 2 goals for East Frio, racked up 21 possessions and 8 tackles. Liam Anthony gathered 34, Jaden Schofield with 24, along with Ryan Lester, who also had 24, but...
And looking at those stats, you can see there's, you know, Liam Anthony, 34 disposals.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously are putting in the effort. It's just, didn't push them on the line.
Royals next year, they've got to have a consistent season. So good first half of the game, and then second half, they just plummeted. You've got to win the games. You've got to be consistent.
I went and spoke to Jamie Bunnell from East Perth after the game. This is what he had to say from the win.
Yeah, that was a plan today, to come out and win and play finals next week. So big step for the boys, and we go on to next week with full confidence.
So were you expecting to win today at the Adam home ground, their home ground?
Oh, we knew it was going to be a tough task, but the boys were confident all week. So just came out here, played our role and got the job done.
So, yeah, we'll move on to the next game because my heart's still recovering. Peel Thunder and Claremont Clappin.
Yeah, no, it was a... very wet, as the weekend and the last few weekends have been wet and miserable. Ground was slippery, ball became slippery. So Peel just, I guess, got ahead. It was 10-10-70 to Claremont 6-9-45. And Peel scored instantly 5 goals to 1 in the first quarter. So that, I guess, put them ahead.
The game,
Claremont just looked like they'd lost a bit of momentum. You know, they were kind of just plodding along and Yeah, but they, you know, they did play well. The goal scorers for Peel, captain.
Peel Thunder and Claremont Clappin.
Yeah, no, it was a very wet, as the weekend and the last few weekends have been wet and miserable. Ground was slippery, ball became slippery. So Peel just, I guess, got ahead. It was 10-10-70 to Claremont 6-9-45. And Peel scored instantly 5-1 in the first quarter. So that, I guess, put them ahead.
That's,
and
that's kind of dominant right there, isn't it?
The game, it was, yeah, no, Claremont just looked like they'd lost a bit of momentum. You know, they were kind of just plodding along and... Yeah, but they, you know, they did play well. The goal scorers for Peel, captain Gerald Ogle, Braden Lawler, Tanner Smith and Jack Hanneth all kicked 2 goals. And then best on ground, Rory O'Brien, 34 dispersions. Ooh, possessions.
Dispersions.
Possessions.
Making our own thing.
Mzungu gathered 34 disposal. Josh DeLuca, 28. Ethan Hughes, 24. And their ruck, Zach Clark, 19 to go with 25 hitouts and 6 marks. Peel did suffer a few injuries, though. Smith, he had a hamstring that looks like it is set to end his career each season.
Poor guy. He just has the worst.
Yeah,
luck.
And Ross Lyon in his press conference yesterday said the Dockers players were pretty flat. And, yeah, he just recovered from a hamstring injury. So, yeah, no, it'd be pretty disheartening. But Claremont just couldn't match the intensity of Peel. And they did. They struggled to kick a few goals. But the funny thing was is that the reason that we were all went down there, not only to enjoy the game, but it was a ladies' day for Claremont Football Club.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Getting the drink on, were you clapping?
Perhaps. And we had a dash, the girls' dash in the middle of,
ooh,
half time.
What's that?
So they put a bottle of Moe out in the middle of the ground and the girls have to do a 100-metre sprint and try and grab it. So there was a few of them.
How many people fell over?
I didn't. That's the thing. Nearly everyone fell over. So the ground was slippery and ruined.
But it's Moe.
I know. But Claremont couldn't catch the intensity, the intensity of Peel, and they struggled to score. Justin Speed kicked 2 goals. Jack Bradshaw and Darcy Cameron were both goalless after combining for 13 goals in the last week's 99-point win over East Freo. So I don't know what's happened there. How did they drop from, you know, absolutely killing it?
Win.
And then, Sam Collins blanketed Darcy Cameron.
Not
so
our
maybe
Darcy
that's why.
Cameron.
I know. He's usually quite strong in the centre there.
That's the thing.
No.
Good defence.
Yeah, exactly. Once they obviously Peel were.
And Darcy Cameron's a great goal scorer. So if he was blanketed and not able to get the ball, we know he's
another way shot.
And it's amazing how when you tag a player like that, how, you know, the play kind of just stops and shows how detrimental, you know, Cameron is to the Claremont. Best on ground was Jai Bolton, 33 possessions for the Tigers. Tom Ledger, 31. And Hardesty, 30. Next Sunday, Peel face East Perth in their elimination final at the home ground, which will be good because I think home ground advantage is, a definite. And so they could match their opening game this season by fielding 18 Dockers players.
Well, it'll be interesting because obviously West Coast going into the final.
Yeah.
So I'd think a lot of the players are going to be rested and won't be playing in the Waffle, while it's the opposite for Freo. They have no final. So the Dockers players will be going down.
Yeah. So Sarats, this is probably shaking any space boots for that one.
I bloody hope so.
Did you hear Gallup over the speaker at the
No,
game?
I didn't. Oh. I didn't. We were inside.
Oh, okay.
How's he back?
So we were just watching
he
from the balcony.
He's back. And you know, he was doing the ground announcing.
The ground announcing. It was a fun day. It was really, hats off to Claremont for hosting. It was a great day. There was, champagne and strawberries and everything fancy, so it was good.
I'm jelly. Over to you, Birchie, for the South Freo, your bully dogs versus the demons at Lathlane.
Yeah, look, it was either a spectacular or depressing start, depending on who you support. As again, I'm guessing it's down to the wet weather, the big score differences. South Freo, 14-14-98 to Perth, 7-4. 46 points, so not good. The Demons didn't score in the first quarter at all, with the Bulldogs booting 8 goals. So look, it was obvious from the start what was going to happen. Second quarter wasn't much better. Perth only had 2 behinds, and Perth was goalless until the 3-minute mark of the third quarter. That's just so disappointing for the Demons. But the coach must have inspired the boys at halftime. Perth kicking 7-4.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
A bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
Wish it could have been the same for the Sharks.
Goal scorers for the Bulldogs. Ben Saunders kicked 4 goals. That's 52 for the season. And he claimed a 3rd Bernie Naylor medal. His 3rd since joining the Bulldogs in 2012. So well done, Benny. He started with 48 goals for the season. And he was 3 behind Subiaco's Hamish Shepherd. But because Subi had a bye this week, Ben Saunders was able to get up and kick 4. So well done.
Yeah, hats off to him. Subi did have a bye. And it was very sad because I didn't get to see my boys out there on the oval. But you know what? Come next weekend.
You know that they'll be clapping.
They'll be rested.
They'll be right.
I think Ben
Saunders
deserved it.
They'll be gearing to go. They're itching for another win, I think.
Mason Shaw kicked 3 goals, 46 for the season. I think he came 3rd in the tally. And Ashton Hams and Tyson Pickett chipped in with 2 goals. Good to see you back, Ashton, again. Best on ground for South Rio. Dylan Main, 31 possessions. Stephen Verrier and Brendan Verrier, 30 each.
Ashton, are they related? They brothers?
They must be.
They are, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Probably know this already.
We'll probably. We'll Google it. Ashton.
I mean, they are brothers.
Yeah, we know everything. And Ashton Hands, 26. Goal scorers for Perth, Spencer White kicked 2 goals. And best on ground for Perth, always Clint Jones.
Clinty Jones, there he is, 30, once again.
31 possessions. Aidan Trobbiano, 26. Liam McKenna, 23. And South Rio will have a Saturday qualifying final against West Perth at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. So hopefully we will get up.
Fingers crossed.
Good start to the finals run.
The West Perth and Swanee Districts game. HBF Arena.
West Perth, they came out on top, 13-18-96 to Swan Districts, 11-10-76.
Good effort by the Swans.
Yeah, so it wasn't like it was an absolute thumping, but
They could have won. They could have won. They were leading most of the game, as you will say.
As I will tell you, thanks, Birch. But Swans, they did have a great start, kicking the first 5 goals, 4 by Justin Simpson. He finished the game with 5, which is good for a defender. But the Swans were ahead, and even in the final quarter before West Perth surged up and, worked to win by 20 points. So good effort for them. Swanee Districts finished the season with only 2 wins, though. But best on ground for West Perth. Midfielder, they all worked hard, but Rowan Kerr collected 31 possessions. Aaron Black gathered 30, and captain Jay Van Berlo was 29 disposals with Corey Chalmers 28, and ruck Chris Kunin 16 to go with 24 hitouts, which is a great effort. Mm. The big goal scorers were Michael Lowry who kicked 3 goals, and Andrew Strike, who had 2. Best on ground for Swanee Ds. Stewart kicked 2. Adam Faulkner amassed another 35, which is a great effort. Jesse Turner had 31, and Jacob Coniglio had 22.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
actually.
That's pretty good. But like going through 35 to special possessions for Faulkner, Turner had 31. They're big numbers for the players. So good
and
on them.
Look, so Subi has the break this week, and they also have a break next week.
Do you think that might actually
affect them?
Worsen their chances.
100%. I think a break can either be really good for a team or
detrimental.
And I think for Subiaco, who, as you can tell, are on a very strong winning streak, but that momentum could easily be lost coming into the finals.
This is, I read somewhere that it's South Rio's first run for finals since like 2009 or something.
Well, that's bloody exciting.
Yeah, which means, but I was like, surely, obviously I didn't know anything before then, but I assumed that South Rio would always be in the finals.
Oh, all right then.
Oh, okay.
But here we go.
But clearly they weren't. This just shows I know nothing.
No, I think, I'm undecided about the double break. But
yeah, it would be good to have had a break next week. But this week too, you need to get the boys out and working.
Yeah, I agree. I don't reckon they should have breaks this close to finals.
Mm. Yeah, but that's why it's weird that there's a top 5.
But they're at their peak fitness. Now's the time where they're playing their best
footy. They'll go and play a scratchy.
Who knows? They might play in reserves or something. But I find it weird that there's a top 5. Have a top 4, hey?
I don't know. The more in there, the better.
Yeah, let's have a top 8.
Yeah, can we?
Well, that's pretty much a rundown for round 23 games.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay, so we've got Joel Siratsis on the line, the Monday Waffler. He's down south at the moment. Joel, how are you going down there?
Yeah, g'day, girls. Just soaking in country footy, the WACFL, the Country Footy League. They're brilliant down here. A lot of talent going through them, and quite a few Waffle players, once they've done their days in the Waffle, come down here and earn themselves a buck and play quite well. So it's pretty competitive down here. South Bunbury obviously have a very strong history. So, yeah, I'm loving it down here.
The South Bunbury Tigers, that's become your affiliated squad that you love down there?
Yeah, that's right. Is it the Tigers or the Bulldogs?
Oh, no, you're right. It is the Bulldogs. Oh, wait, no. South Bunbury. I thought South's was the Tigers. It's Bunbury Bulldogs.
Barry, I have got no idea.
That's just not good enough.
I get to read it off a teleprompter every week, so I don't. It doesn't affect me because I just read the words. Do you know how hard, just sorry, off the record, do you know how hard some of the names are pronounced down here? It is insane. Gumaling. I like kept saying Gumaling, and everyone was like, nah. And then
you can bank that any town with an A in it's going to sound like Al. It would never be pronounced. Yeah. Anyway, we wanted to chat to you, Joel, about Saturday night finals as a possibility in 2017. What do we think?
Verity, I absolutely love the concept. I reckon it's a brilliant idea. The AFL's considering adopting it, which I think if the Waffle moves first, that's the best move they can do, because if you look at leagues overseas like the NFL, they've done it perfectly. They get the halftime entertainment. It's around 7 o'clock at night. Everyone loves it. Everyone's had a few drinks and jolly. Obviously, the team that's losing isn't as into the halftime entertainment, fair enough. But no, I reckon it's a great concept, and I think if you build up the day throughout leading up to the grand final as the pinnacle at night time, I reckon you can have a whole day at Subi Oval, and in 2018, obviously, the new ground, new Perth Stadium. I reckon it will be a brilliant concept, and the Waffle should definitely move first, and then if the AFL moves after them, the Waffle are setting the tone. So I reckon that's a brilliant thing for the competition.
Now, the only problem with a Saturday night final is that they're going to have floating finals fixtures in the coming season, just so they can make sure it doesn't clash with an AFL semi-final or preliminary final. The other idea was they're going to have the Waffle Grand Final after the AFL final, just to make sure it doesn't clash.
So just a standalone fixture, yeah. Look, I personally don't think it's an issue, because if you look at the Eagles are playing their first final next week on a Thursday. So the AFL finals really only depend on the Eagles or Dockers. One, it depends on them both making the finals, which unfortunately for the Dockers doesn't look like it's happening next year, probably, or the year after. I think it's just great exposure for the Waffle, and they can work around the AFL finals. I mean, AFL finals, there's only going to be one, two if both teams make it. Worst case scenario, you're going to get two finals on a weekend, and one of them will always be on a Friday night, because in the finals there's only four fixtures. The max is going to be four games, so four games in the first round and then two games after that. So the Waffle should just pull the trigger, go for it, and I reckon it'd be brilliant. Especially, I reckon it'd be better if you get AFL finals there on the same weekend, because then I reckon they'll get everyone around WA going to the footy. It happened last year, if you remember. We had two prelim finals in Perth, and I think pretty sure we also had the Waffle Grand Final on the same weekend. So it was just a great thing for WA footy, and I reckon they should definitely just pull the trigger and go for it. I reckon it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, Joel, I agree, because it's also I think that the Waffle need that boost, that AFL, and you know, as you said, combining them would be fantastic. I support it too.
Amen. Let's do it. Should we call them up and just say, look, Monday Waffle says you have to do it.
Let's do it. Monday Waffle podcast has spoken.
Can we actually, I know this is a little bit out of what we usually do, but can we not prank call, but just, I guess, randomly call them and say, look, Monday Waffle has an idea. What do you reckon? Get Steve Toohey on the line. He'd have a chat.
Well, I think we all 100%. Just want to.
He's probably an avid listener.
Let's just look probably forward to us. The grand final, guys. Let's just go down and have lots of drinks. And if it was a Saturday night, even better.
There you go.
I agree.
Continue the drink from daytime.
I agree.
All right, Siratsis, well, we'll let you get to your day. Thank you so much for being there, I guess.
Go and smash Bunbury.
No, I will make sure you get around the country footy league. They're entering finals as well. So, you know, if your Bulldogs get a win. Are you a Bulldogs fan, are you, Verity?
No, Tigers. Tigers.
Oh, girls, go to Monday Waffle. Hopefully I can get back for one of the final shows. And hey, my Royals, we're in the finals.
Oh, don't mention it to me, Siratsis. I think we'll end it there. All right, bye.
Great.
Bye.
See you, girls. Great to chat.
You too, bye.
Question, what rhymes with Zempelis? That's right, nothing. So tune into the Monday Waffle. It makes perfect sense, really. The Monday Waffle, where the team waffle about the waffle. Tune in Monday.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
Birchie. Sophie.
Hello. As you can tell, I'm very happy.
You're very sprightly. Now tell us why we're tipping this week, Birchie.
Verity, you made a big mistake. You went for your boys East Frio and they didn't come through. So you only got 3 points this week. I got 4. I'm back on top. So sorry, you only got 3, but Joel Siratsis decided not to tip, so you're in third position.
What?
Bronze medal coming your way. Just a bit of a rundown, 57 for me, 56 for Verity, 53 points for Soph, 51 for Siratsis, and I'm not sure whether they still tip, but Kelly 32 and Josh 22.
I'm going to assume they don't, but...
I feel like a punishment. They need to, like, carry us around or something just because they literally do nothing.
You just want a punishment because they'll be carrying you around because we're all... Because you're winning.
Just praise me.
What's your secret?
Well, do you know what, Verity, though? We'll still be tipping for finals, and I think that is the most difficult thing to tip for. So, look...
Everything changes.
Upsets. I've lost AFL tipping rounds just in finals, so we've got to be on our game. It's everything's up for grabs. Who knows? So if maybe you'll be winning by the end.
God, I hope so. How good would that be? Imagine if I just steamed ahead and came.
I would
came
love
in
that.
One,
do you know what? I'd love that.
I'd cry.
Push you off your bloody throne.
I would cry.
So
your Subi's on top. How's the rest of everyone going before finals?
Subiaco's on top, followed by South Fremantle, then West Perth, Peel Thunder, and sitting in fifth place is East Perth. And we follow on with East Frio, Claremont, Perth, and bottom of the ladder are the Swanee Dees.
Subi has a break. Finals. South Frio will play West Perth on Saturday. Sunday, Peel Thunder will host East Perth at Bendigo Bank in Mandurah.
And Subi have another break. And bad luck to East Frio, who finished 6th, followed by Claremont, Perth and Swan Districts.
It's all right, boys. 2017.
Yeah.
It's our year. Episode 23 of the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And tune in for finals week
Bring on finals.
Woo!
We'll catch you next time. See you Monday Wafflers.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.